Today we are celebrating the greatest event that has ever happened on earth. It's the day that Jesus Christ arose from the dead and is now bodily alive. It's called the resurrection. If it were not so important that he arose in his body, there wouldn't be so many arguments about it. And many don't understand what resurrection is, and they don't understand what amazing, incredible thing happened on that day. It was not until, you know, I became a minister that I really received an understanding clearly of the absolute wonder of the new day that had happened, and it is even becoming clearer to me today. And I believe that God will give us resurrection every day, every resurrection understanding and revelation every day, so that the resurrection becomes more and more real to us every day. But I want to say this to you, as Andre has just mentioned, that raising is not resurrection. Raising from the dead had happened before, several times. Starting back in the Old Testament. Remember when Elisha went in and there was a boy there that had died in his mother's arms, a boy that he had prophesied, a boy that came into being because of that prophetic word. And Elisha was not willing for that promise to be robbed. And the scripture said he lay on the body of that boy, eye to eye, hand to hand, foot to foot, until life came back into him. And then again, we are told that there was a time that Elisha, this happened concerning after he was already dead and buried, and that there were some men that were traveling to bury a corpse. But they saw some of the enemy coming on the way, and in their fear, they just simply threw him in there where Elisha had been buried. And when his body touched Elisha's bones, he was resurrected from the dead. Just reminding you that resurrection is rising again, being raised, is a theme of the Bible. And you remember in the New Testament that Jesus raised the son of the widow of Nain. On the way to the funeral, Jesus messes up funerals. And then I like so much the story of Jairus' daughter and how he said to her, "Arise." And she came back to life again. And then Lazarus, who'd been dead 4 days. And the scripture says that one has said, "By now he stinketh." Yet when Jesus spoke those words, Lazarus came forth out of the grave, because Jesus had told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." Wherever Jesus goes, he takes resurrection with him, because he is the resurrection. And you and I are aware that there have been raisings from the dead that we know of. According to a book written by Heidi Baker, there have been about 100 raisings from the dead in Mozambique. And Heidi herself has raised, as she said, only 3 from the dead, Sue, but that's 3. More than most of us have raised from the dead. And I told you the story of Empty Batuma, a friend of Sam Sasser's, who was there at a funeral. Empty Batuma was a man who had a special relationship with God. And some of you say, you know, why doesn't this happen more often? It takes a person moving into the realm of resurrection life, enough life to raise from the dead. And he told this woman to get out of the box. He threw his head back and he laughed because he saw the victory already. The Lord had shown it to him. And he repeated it, "Get out of the box." And when she didn't get up, he took her by the hair of the head, raised her up and said, "I said, get out of the box." And the woman opened her eyes and began to look around, and people jumped out the windows. I'm telling you that this happened in the last 50 years. People do get raised from the dead. There was a man from Nigeria that had even been embalmed. I have a video on this. I can show it to you sometime if you like. That in the basement of a church where Reinhard Bonnke was preaching, while he was preaching, this man was raised from the dead because his wife went to the mortuary and begged his body, saying the Lord gave her the scripture, and took his body into the church, and he was raised from the dead as they worshiped. Thank God for people being raised from the dead. But the thing is, of course, that they died again. And so we realize that resurrection is a totally different experience from rising again from the dead or resuscitation. Jesus rose again with a resurrection body, a transformed body that would never decay or die. Resurrection is a new form of life. Get that. Resurrection is a new form of life. Resurrection reverses death. And that's our great enemy. And when Jesus was crucified, it was death that died. The resurrection changed death, hell, and the grave forever. So that's why Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. In other words, in charge now. Jesus was the first resurrection that ever happened. The Jewish thought of that day was that resurrection would happen for everybody someday. Doesn't everybody kind of believe something like this? I mean, Christians and people that believe in God, they kind of sort of believe that there will be a resurrection. They think they've been heard that there's coming a last day. But the thought of it was not prominent in their minds. They didn't teach much about it because they didn't know much about it. Like there's a lot of churches that don't teach about the full gospel, speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. Although it's in the Bible and they probably have read it, it's not in the forefront of their minds because they haven't received that revelation. That's the way the Jews were about resurrection. And it was not clear that it would actually be a bodily resurrection. Because there was one thing in pagan belief that the realm of the dead was that you go there and there's no way back. But those who believed, and the Jewish people, believed that somehow, you know, even Job said that he believed that one day, even though skin worms would eat his body, he would be able to see the Lord. And so there was some sort of a shadowy belief, but there was never a thought about the body. That you could actually, they thought even, some people even thought that you could get in touch with the dead. I'm talking about not people that were Christians or whatever, but there was never a thought that they could come back with you. See, this resurrection thing is really, really powerful. It takes all the shadows out of the life that is to come. And when Jesus spoke of resurrection, he spoke of it regarding the coming kingdom. In Matthew 19:28, he said, yes, Jesus replied, I assure you that when the world is made new, now I want you to start listening here, because you're going to hear something a little bit different, because the Lord's going to open up some more understanding to us so we can greater appreciate the power, what really happened and was accomplished on that resurrection day. When the world is made new, or in the regeneration, it says in other places. Isn't that interesting? In the day of regeneration, Jesus said, the New Living says, when the world is made new, and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, Jesus said this. I'm not making it up. Jesus said that there's going to be a new world. The world's going to be made new. And his disciples are going to have specific jobs to do. And those that follow him. No one, though, was ever expecting a resurrection of any kind right now. in that day. What did Jesus say to the disciples about his resurrection? This is so interesting. He said that he would die and be crucified and buried and would rise from the dead at least four times. At least four times. But the disciples somehow couldn't remember that. Although some Jews believed it. That's why they wanted to lock him in the tomb to be sure he wouldn't get out, because, you know, they say he's going to rise again. But the disciples couldn't remember it. Peter and John went to the tomb and his body wasn't there, and they just ambled on back home. They still didn't get it. John 20, verse 9, "For as they knew not," or as the living says, "still didn't understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." And people wonder, you know, why they had such difficulty believing it. But you see, there'd never been a resurrection before. Only raising from the dead, and people die again. The angels remind the women who come. In Luke 2, it says, the women in verse 5 were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. And then the men ask, "Why are you looking among the dead," this is the angels, "for someone who's alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Now listen to this. Remember, he told you back in Galilee that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Do you get it, ladies? And then verse 8 says, "Then they said together, 'Aha! Eureka!' They remembered that he had said this." I wonder how many great, wonderful things the devil's caused you to forget. Like every time you get under condemnation, you forget that Jesus said, "There's therefore now no condemnation." And this is the same kind of work. Every good thing that Jesus told us to remember in his word, the enemy works to keep us from remembering it. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene. It tells us even who it was. Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. Let me just say one thing here, that historians tell us that you could never trust the testimony of a woman in this day, and that they were not allowed to testify in court because of their great untrustworthiness. So let's give the disciples a little bit of room. The culture said, "Don't believe these women." Which I think just shows even more that God's not a respecter of persons and is going to redeem everything on his way. Jesus, who was dead, is now bodily alive, and God had begun the work of a new creation. Resurrection is not about going to heaven when you die, but it's about God remaking the whole new creation and having sons and daughters that will live with him forever. It's about going through death and coming out on the other side, because that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus proves his resurrection in physical displays. He lets them know that his own body has been recreated or transformed, but it is still flesh and bones. It's amazing, isn't it? In physical things he talks about, and we see, for example, the tomb is empty. That body is not there. And the disciples met him in a transformed body, but he said, feel. Put your hand in my hand and in my side and feel the wounds. And he said, why do you look at me this way? I have flesh and bones as you do. And he cooked a meal for them and ate with them himself. Resurrection body equals. He used up all the body left there. And then the new creation that can never die again joined it. Because there wasn't a bit of body left. The scripture says only that napkin that was over his face folded neatly. And we've got all kinds of homilies about why the napkin was folded and da 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 da, but I just want to know the body wasn't there. I like that so much. That body can never die again. The book of Acts, quoting Psalms, says that his body was incorruptible, that death could not touch him. Resurrection means that at this time now he's bringing heaven and earth together into one. They went to tell the whole world Jesus is now in charge. Jesus, right from the middle of their own sorrow and misery, took them out of it with such good news that they could do nothing but tell it. Mary Magdalene, Mary, he asked, why are you weeping? And he, in his own transformed body, an interesting thing. Mary thought he was the gardener at first. The men on the Emmaus road didn't recognize him at first. He had a recreation makeover. He had a body made up of resurrection power and resurrection life. It was not just the good news of what he did and will do, but they were going, as they went forth, they were saying that they realized they had a job to do to announce repentance and forgiveness of sins, because rooted in resurrection, new starts are possible. God is saying this is the time the new creation has started and God's new world has been born. I want to tell you that on that resurrection day, we all need to understand this. It wasn't just that Jesus rose again in a body that could not die, but it was that God, all of the things that Jesus did after he died, descended into hell, took the power of death and the power of hell, ripped the keys away from Satan, put an end forever to the darkness, to the confusion, to all the mystery that enshrouded death. It is no longer a mystery. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? It is not just that he did that, but it is that he appeared to them and even invited them to touch the kind of body that is created in God's new world and what it's going to be in all eternity for you and me. For the scripture says that Jesus is the first fruits of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I think one of the things that people dread about death is the idea of floating around in a maybe formless body or no body at all, or riding on a cloud, playing a harp, with nothing more to look forward to than to go to the next cloud or get a better harp. I saw a cartoon, a man sitting there with his harp on the cloud saying, I wish I'd brought a magazine. Just showing you how ignorant we have been. It's not about floating around. It's about something so much more tangible than that, and the devil doesn't want you to know it. He wants you to think it's very mysterious, but it really isn't at all. Our bodies were raised, or will be raised up as well. It's indispensable that we believe this. It's the bedrock of Christianity. Every message that was preached by Paul and others in the book of Acts was a message on the resurrection. Because the resurrection was the new creation. And they were saying, it has already begun. God's new world is already being. See, heaven is God's space, which is to be reunited with earth. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Especially for you that are visiting, let me read the scripture that tells this. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. This is right at the end of the book of Revelation. I wish when we talk about the hereafter, as it's called, eternity, I wish that we understood that there's life after death. And that we're not out there floating around. We're not in the vagues. We're not in the confusion. Because actually, there have been people who had the idea that John Brown's body lies moldering in the grave, but the truth is marching on. Actually, that somehow he is there moldering in his grave and maybe his spirit is somewhere. But the fact of the matter is that the moment you die, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. But Jesus wasn't in paradise long, because he went in there and he preached to everybody and told Abraham and all of those, okay, the day has come now. And I've come to empty this place out and take you to be with the Father in heaven. And in Scripture says he also went to preach to the souls that were in prison, to the ones that were in hell. And that he went to preach to them, that he did all of this work in the 3 days after he died, before he was resurrected from the dead. That's how he earned the right to be the Lord of the whole universe. He overcame death, so there wasn't any more death. He went through death and came out on the other side. And here's what it says in Revelation 21, verse 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 1, excuse me. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Let it sink in. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he will be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, some people see this only in heaven, somehow in some ethereal place. But they don't understand that God has a plan, as the scripture clearly says, to bring heaven and earth together. The book of Ephesians tells us very clearly that in Christ Jesus, God brought together heaven and earth. It tells us the same thing in the book of Colossians, that he reconciled all things so that heaven and earth could be brought together. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these are true and faithful. I love that line in Mel Gibson's Passion movie. I love the line where Jesus says to his mother, you see, I make all things new. So I want to say this to you today, that if the resurrection only is about dying and going to heaven, well, see, the fact is the Old Testament saints that knew, they knew that somehow, some way they were going to get there because they had that promise. You can read it all through the Old Testament. But of course, Jesus had to do his work and release them from paradise into the place where they could be with God forevermore. But this scripture and others tell us that heaven is the place where God is, and his throne is there. Jesus took his blood, the book of Hebrews said, into that tabernacle in heaven. And it was accepted for all times. Your blood, your sins are cleansed. The blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament was only a shadow and a type. It could never cleanse, but the blood of Jesus cleanses away every stain. But when Jesus came out of that tomb in a resurrected body, then was released resurrection life. And it became, not only was there a new body, not only was there a resurrection, but it fostered a whole new creation. And that the Father would now have sons and daughters. We would now have the family of God. And please, if you're still stuck on trying to do right, lift up your eyes and see that it's way beyond anything like that. And the fact of the matter is, he's covered all that stuff where it's hard to do right in his blood. And that's what that was for. And because he did that, because this great power is here, and I've been musing over this all week about resurrection power. The scripture says, that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. Or Robert says, every time a person's healed, you get a good dose of that. It's the same spirit. It's resurrection. It's where you have sickness in your body. Resurrection then overcomes death in your body. And that's a healing, a quick healing that happens. That's why I believe that the more of God's presence we have, the more healing, the more physical healing that we will have among us. I believe it's the will of God. And in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 6, he gives the picture of our being baptized in water. He said it's the same as being buried with Christ when he was buried. And when you come up out of the water, it's the same as being resurrected like Christ was, he says, to a new life. And then Paul yearned for that. He realized that resurrection power was available. I want to say this to us this morning. It's already started, the new creation. The path that we're going to, where one day there's going to be the new heaven, there's going to be a new earth. And the scripture says the new Jerusalem is going to descend from heaven and be on this earth, and God is going to make his tabernacle with men. That the earth is going to be made new. Well, you say, Pastor, you have sure given us a lot before lunch. Well, don't get indigestion. I just want you to know that resurrection means a lot more than going to heaven. That it means getting into the power of what God wrought when he raised Jesus from the dead. He also created a new creation, which you and I are. And he has a plan for a new heaven and a new earth. And that wonderful new Jerusalem, which is in heaven now, will one day descend upon a new earth, and God will dwell with his people forever. It started back in the garden with Adam and Eve when they blew it, but God's going to take it back again. Amen. And he's going to have his people for himself to bring him glory. So Paul yearned for that. So Paul said, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. May I say this to you this morning? The resurrection is big business. And just in case the enemy has allowed you to get your eyes on little things, hey, those things don't matter. They just feel like it because we're in bondage to the flesh. But the Lord wants us to get into something so much bigger. And when we do that, He will erase out the things that have been troublesome to us. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that Jesus, when He came out of that tomb, made a way for you and me to be empowered? It would even be possible that we could raise the dead ourselves. But Jesus said, "Greater things than I do shall you do also." He said that. And I got to thinking about it. Well, I don't know how many people were raised from the dead under His ministry. But if there were 103 raised under the ministry in Mozambique, that's a lot of people raised from the dead. I'd love to see people raised from the spiritual dead. I'd love to see us be such a church that we'd have such an atmosphere, that so much resurrection power would be here, that every person who came in the door, suddenly resurrection life would come to them, and their minds would be illuminated, and their hearts would be softened, and they would say, "Now today I understood what it is that Jesus has done for me." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and His resurrection power is here today." It's not just something that He once did, it's something that He gave us. And we now have. Thank God for the resurrection. Can we stand together? Lord, we love You. 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 Do you remember that song? I live, because He is risen. I live. With power over sin, I live, because He is risen. I live to worship Him. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, because You're alive, because You're alive, because You're alive. I... Now hold this moment in His presence. Hold this moment here. Are there those that are standing in His resurrection presence today? Would the power of His resurrection here for you to touch? Are there any that would like to say, "I have not surrendered and yielded my life to His great Lordship, and I need to give my life to Him today"? Or if you at one time served Him but you're not now, that you want to say, "I want to return to this glorious Lord today and make this Easter what it's supposed to be, a resurrection of my own spirit life, that I could indeed walk in the power of His resurrection." Is there anyone here this morning that wants to lift your hand and say, "Pastor, will you pray for me, that I can receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior today? I want to repent of my sin, or I want to return to Him. I want to be a Christian, and I want that resurrection power in my life." Anyone, feel free to lift your hand. Or if you need to come back to Him, don't be ashamed. This is a place to come back to Jesus and just say, "I want to serve Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, because He and He alone is worthy. He is worthy. And He is wonderful." Isn't He wonderful? Amen. He is such a wonderful Savior. I want to thank each of you for coming this morning and acknowledging that Easter is a very special today, a special day, and a day that you should make a special effort to come and let the Holy Spirit touch your heart. And church, this morning, when you're dismissed, I want you to make a special effort to greet people that are among us, new people, people that you don't know, or guests, or visitors, and share the love of Jesus with them. And one thing I'd like to do before we go this morning, even though Jesus is risen from the dead, you may still be a person who is suffering from oppression, either in your body or in your spirit, in your emotions, in your mind. And I want you to know resurrection power wants to lift that off of you today. So let's just bow our hearts one more time in His presence. And if you'd like to lift your hand and say, will you pray for me, Pastor, that oppression will be broken off of my mind, off of my spirit, off of my emotions. For it is not the will of God for you to be anything but victorious and rejoicing in His victory. Anyone that wants to say, okay, just keep your hand up now and don't be ashamed and don't be afraid. This is church. We believe in God here. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I believe you today to touch the lives of those that acknowledge their need of a lifting up of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that the enemy tries many ways to discourage and to tear down and undermine the work that you're doing. And we take authority over that work today in Jesus' name. And we thank you for resurrection power that sets every captive free from his captivity today. Everyone that is held in the bondage of accusations of the past or some sort of condemnation, I break that power. I break that chains. And I said, because he is alive, we live also. We live in that resurrection power. And we thank you for what you've done, Lord, for us for now and for all eternity. You are our resurrected Lord, and we receive at your hand today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And thank you to all of those that ministered to us in song this morning. It was such a tremendous blessing.
Thank you, Lord. To a joyful king.
Let's see if I can get down here.
You are spinning and you are singing. Zealous love over all your children. And we sing and jubilate.